And I went out there and tried to, as I recall, kind of, and then I thought, no, no, wait a minute. Let them just obey the Lord and God will play. No, I didn't say that. But they are longtime, forever friends, and I'm talking about Johnny and Susie White, and I want them to stand up. I just want everybody to know how much I love them. I've known them for 100 years, and they're the greatest. They're just the absolute greatest friends, way back in my dad's church in those wonderful days, and they're extraordinary people. And then there's just four others I want to recognize before I start talking to you what's on my heart tonight. And I want to talk about my son-in-law back there, Jeff Smith. Now, he won't stand up, he won't come up here, and he won't talk to you publicly, but he's just one of the most extraordinary men. And he has Christian radio stations in California and here, and the one here is 91.3. And I mean, it's a wonderful Christian, all Christian radio station. California, he has them out there also. But for those that don't know and maybe know, his father is Chuck Smith. And Chuck Smith is the founder of the great Calvary Chapel in Southern California in Orange County. And from that, a revival broke out when he started that great church. And they had a revival of such a degree, it was on the front page of Time magazine and other publications, as I recall. But it showed him, and that was during the time of the kind of a hippie revolution, and revival just broke out, and hippies were getting saved. And they all started going over there to Calvary Chapel to hear this man open the Word of God and begin to teach. And out of that came Greg Laurie, that today preaches the Great Harvest Crusades, and Mike McIntosh down in San Diego, and just all over the nation now are Calvary Chapels. And it all started through Chuck Smith's ministry, opening the Bible, and from Genesis to Revelation, he consistently taught the Word of God. And now he's in heaven. But I just wanted you to know about my son-in-law and about Channel 21.3, or Station 21.3 on your... Wait a minute. Back it up, Dwight. 91.3 on your radio dial. Everybody say it back to me. 91. All right. And it'll bless your heart. And then there's my beautiful daughter. What a child that is, boy. I'm telling you. She's an amazing, beautiful daughter, and having her makes me wish I had had a dozen of them just because of who she is. And then there's that Carissa. I talked a little bit about her, my beautiful granddaughter that's taken a stand for Jesus Christ in her life. And then there is my favorite grandson. I always tell him this to be sure and not tell the other grandsons that I say that, but he is my favorite. Of course, I tell them the same thing, to don't tell him that they're my favorite. But I just wanted to say to my family how much I love them and how much I appreciate them. So can I do that? That'll be all right. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up tonight. We're just going to go a few verses. I'll skip. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13 has 13 verses in it. And if you were to give the whole chapter a title, you could call it The Excellence of Love. Everybody say love, the excellence of love. I don't know if they want to put that up on the screen. If they put it up there, I'll just kind of refer to it by looking up on the screen. Can we do that, Brother Tony? Is that something that can be done, or should I just go get my Bible open? Is he doing it? Oh, well, of course. Sure he is. well, let's get it up there just for a minute. The one thing that is clear in Scripture is that it is absolutely necessary to be the foundation and sort of the underpinning of everything that we believe in. It starts from a place of love. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing?
Yes.
When you just stop and think about everything that has happened in Holy Scripture is based upon love.
Yes.
God, from the very beginning, established himself as a God of love. We move over into the New Testament, and it begins to talk about what we would call maybe the golden text of the whole scripture. John 3:16, that God, he didn't just love the world, he so loved it. I think I could probably put together a good message on just the word so. He so loved it. He loved it so much that he gave. Now think about this. He loved it so much that he gave. Now, he wasn't giving this love to the people that returned the love. Now, just think about this for a minute. It's important that we understand the beautiful love of God. Sometimes I just have to pause and just think about, God loves me. I think of all the people that's qualified to preach, it's not me. And I could let myself sink down into that right here, but I've got 20 minutes to deliver this. Or some of y'all walk out because I told you I'm going to try to hang on to that 20 minutes. And somebody was overheard when I said that this morning. I think Zonel told me she heard somebody sitting by him and said, he won't do it. Well, maybe, anyway, but when I think about how much that just God loves me and God loves you. And so when we think about that God establishes himself as a God of love, and he wants us to know that. And then he said in that golden text, what I'd like to refer to it in the scripture is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I have one son. And lots of grandsons. Boy, they're my best friends. And then now great grandkids. I know I look much too young to say that I have seven great grandchildren. I know that I'll milk this until I get an amen here, that I look much too young. All right, some of you are just flat hateful. I'm just having too much fun, aren't I, right now? But he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that one son that I have, my son, an incredible son. I don't think I can do that. I don't think I could give him up. You know, I'm speaking now just from looking at this the way we look at it. I mean, I never had to go out looking for that boy anywhere. I never had to go look for him. He's a much better son than I have been a father. And I drug him, he and my daughter, Zonel, all across the country for all of those years. And when they were just babies, and one of them in a bassinet, and him just two. And away we went, and he just is a precious son. Well, to think about God gave his only son, that's the only son I have, and I don't know that I could do that. In fact, I'm pretty sure I can't do that. Because I don't know how to understand that kind of love. That's the point I'm making in this. I don't understand that kind of love because I don't have that kind of love within myself. Maybe you do. I don't believe that I do. Only God could produce that kind of love. But keep in mind in this room tonight with you precious people. Zonel and I talked about this on the way to church. She said, you realize we only know a few churches that have Sunday night services. And I'm just so glad. Well, the people that come are the people that just have this overwhelming desire on a Sunday night to be in church. Yes. They've done it their whole life, and they just love being in the presence of God. And being an evangelist for most of all of those years, revival was just something that just took off. And it wasn't just Sunday night. We just had it every night. I mean, when you think about it, preaching every night that it would go weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. I didn't know anything else. And of course, everything changes like that. But it's because people have a love for God. And that's why you're here tonight. You just want more of it. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I want to talk about this. Oh, now give me my water. We were talking about this on the way. I don't know why I'm so dry and everything. It's maybe, I have no idea. A man helped me. He brought me extra water tonight for me to drink. And there he is. And brother, keep them coming. Well, you may have to drag that hose in here tonight just to keep me going. Now, I want to talk about how much God loves you. And you need to know how much God loves you. So, because no matter what you've done, you can't do anything so bad that God is going to love you less. Well, I've heard more amens in a morgue than that deal that just went down right there. I'm going to give you another shot at it. That God loves you so much that you can't do anything so bad that will force him to love you less. Amen. Now, just think about that for a minute. Just think about it. You know, you misbehave, and maybe your parents said to you, all kind of things to you that when you had misbehaved, you know, you're going to turn out like your uncle. You know, they always had something to say to kind of keep you in line along the way. You know, you're just driving me crazy. You're putting me in an early grave. And the frustration that goes along with it. And maybe you just had to vent, you know, that moment that you, well, I wish I hadn't talked that harshly. But with God, he loves you no matter what. It's unconditional. So that chapter on 1 Corinthians, in the whole chapter, the excellence of love, he talks about how much he loves you. And then he talks about, now, if you have the love of this or the love of that and so on, do you have it or you can't put it up? Well, thank you very much. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and I have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. It's just hollow, isn't it? It has a sound that makes you kind of cringe, like a fingernails going down the board. It just doesn't ring right. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have faith so that I could remove a mountain. Now think about that. Just think about that for a moment, if you could do that. And he said, though I could do that, but I have not charity, I'm nothing. Let's go one more up here. Though I bestow everything I own, all of my possessions and my goods and my money and my reserve, my everything, all my substance, I turn it over and I just give it to the poor. And then he says, though I give my body to be burned. Think about that. And I have not love or charity, it profits me nothing. Then it continues a little bit farther. Let me go ahead. Love, charity suffereth long. It's kind, and love envieth not, and love vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. Let's go one more. And it doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, and it's not easily provoked, and it thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity. It rejoiceth not in somebody else's failings. It rejoiceth not when you hear somebody failed in their life. It has no desire to run and tell about the sins of somebody else. Think about that. Think about people today, even in the church, that just, they can't shut up when somebody makes a mistake, as if what they have done, they need to talk about it and sit in judgment on. Now, just think about this for a minute. I've been in enough churches, into the hundreds, if not thousands, possibly, along this journey of 56 years of an evangelist through this country and this world. I know what it can do to a church. I know people that can't shut up gossiping. They could sit in the living room and lick a spoon in the kitchen. And I had a woman one time came up to me in a church, and she said, I almost quoted where the church was, so I'm not going to do that. And so I'm in that meeting. I was a young preacher just getting started, and she said, I need to talk to you for a minute. Now, I'm in this revival, first service. I need to talk now. Anytime that anybody comes up and does stuff like that, be aware. I need to talk to you for a minute. And then she said something like this. She said, now, my pastor up there, he's not spiritual enough to hear this, but I can tell you are. Now, come over here. And so she pulled me off to a little bit to the side while I'm going with her. And then she started. And she started in talking about the pastor. And this is exactly what I did. I said, wait a minute. I said, what is this right here? And I did just like this. I pulled my ears out. Just like, what? She said, well, what is this? This isn't hard. You can figure this. What am I holding? And she said, ears. I said, oh. For a minute there, I thought you thought it was a trash barrel. Is that right on there? Fix me. The devil's trying to mess me up here and getting me to do it. All right. Trash can. So she started on me, and then I began to tell her why you can't do this. You just can't do it. You know, and then I explained what Scripture has to say about this. Love doesn't have a desire. In other words, when you get to a place to where you live in that mode that it's important that you pass judgment on somebody else, stop and think about this for just a minute. You know what the spiritual criminal offense of that? You know why that is? Here's what it is. You're telling God, get out off that throne, and I will now take over the judgment seat. I'm going to measure out the judgment upon this person. Now, this isn't anything about anybody that's here, but it's good that everybody understands what goes on. The greatest destructive force in the church, I can witness that I have witnessed in my lifetime of ministry, are people that have never understood to walk in love. Instead of it rejoicing in bearing bad news and gossip and division, they've never caught on that when you destroy the bridge of forgiveness for somebody else, you've destroyed the bridge over which you too must cross. Thank you, sister. You and I are going to get along good in this service. I can tell right now. You destroy, in other words, you want Christ to forgive us. I want him to forgive me, but I can't forgive you. So I know you remember in Denver, Colorado, when that girl came into this service. Zonella, I'm talking to you. And you remember in Denver, Colorado, I'm preaching on a subject of love and forgiveness. And I remember talking about forgiving others. Then I got into talking about forgiving yourself. And then I would talk about forgiving God. And I'd use those three points in that particular message. And then I was talking about forgive yourself. And I remembered what this man said to me. His name is Lawrence Bishop II. And he told me a little bit about his life and what on and the things. And he said, one day I came to the place in my own life that I understood the love of God, that no matter what I had done, he forgives me. And he said, something inspired me that I walked. I walked into the bathroom, he said, and I looked into the mirror. And it's the first time it ever dawned on me to do this. I looked in that mirror and I said, Lawrence, I forgive you. Get that, how that resonates with all of us. That at some point in your life, you may have been a poster kid for bad behavior. But can I just be Texas enough to say, get over it. You're putting stuff on you that God doesn't even know it exists anymore, because it has not only been forgiven. If you've got a shout in you, this will bring it out. It has been removed. It's been tossed into the sea of God's unforgetfulness. Praise God, and that's good enough for me. What I'm trying to tell you tonight, you are forgiven. And with that said, you can't be so good that he's going to love you more. In other words, you can't be so good that that increases his love. You can't be so bad that it decreases the love. In other words, it is unconditional. God so loved the world before it was lovable that he set everything in order. This is the foundation of our faith, and that is that God loves us without condition. Thinking about him, I'll get to that woman I'm trying to get to in a minute, but I was thinking about this man that came up to me, and he said these words. He said, if you only knew that night, if you only knew what I've done, the violence that has been in my life, the people that I have hurt, how can God forgive me? I think tonight that maybe what the Holy Spirit has led me for this service, like an assignment, is when we preached this morning and those 32 people came forward to give their life to Christ and to come to him and say, I've got something in my life and I want to get rid of all of this once and for all. I wanted to couple that tonight by saying, it's gone. Everything that you think you've done now that you have to be reminded of your sin, he said he not only forgives it, he removes it, never to be brought up again. Now think about this. Who has received a special assignment from God to take over his job, to set themselves as judge of somebody else? That is a very frightening thing in the eyes of God, to put back upon somebody what God has removed from them. And every time we want to remind somebody of their sin, you're in a bad situation there with God. The little song says, you ask me why I'm happy, and I'll tell you why, because my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood. I can sing it if you want me to. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, praise God, my sins are gone. Then there's another song. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul, for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came. Be quiet. I work alone up here. Floods of, I just couldn't resist it. Help me out. Floods of joy. Oh, my soul. Like the sea billows roll. Since Jesus came into my heart. He changes. He takes a life of sin and brokenness and failure and hurt and pain and mistakes. Think of this, Pastor. Think of us standing behind these sacred pulpits, and we can tell about a God whose love has no boundaries, whose hand is not so soft and weak that he can't grasp, and his arm is not short that he can't reach into the lowest pit and pull out a lost, broken sinner and clean them up and set them right and take them from earth to heaven because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Think about that young man, Zonel, in California, one of thousands that we could say accurately in Hope for LA when we were preaching in the project all throughout Los Angeles, and over 150 projects in that Los Angeles area. And you would see gangs out there that had killed, and the hatred was deep. And what they would do, they would kill somebody in that gang, then that gang would have to come back and kill somebody, and it was the blood in the Crips among 160 other organized gangs that were in the Los Angeles area, and it was just a bloodbath and murder and horrible things that would happen. And yet I remember the night that the young African-American young man, handsome young man, came forward when I was preaching, and we had the bed of a 18-wheeler bed of a truck. You know what I'm trying to say. And that's where we would stand up and preach throughout different areas of those counties. And that young man came forward in the altar call, and he came forward, and I heard the Velcro break, and he was pulling a 357 Magnum out of his, and he wasn't pointing at me, he just was holding it out. He said, what do you want me to do with this? And so me and my humor take over, and I said, was the sermon that bad? And he just sort of looked at me, kind of his head twisting like that, and he didn't grin, so that worried me right away. And I said, well, why don't you just lay it right there? That's a good place for it. And he laid it down, and then I looked at him, and when I turned around and looked at him, tears were coming down his face. Now, that may not be emotional to you, but man, if you were in the setting I was in right now, it was big emotion for me, and it still is. And he said to me, they murdered my brother. And I'm looking for those who murdered my brother. Because that's what we do. We get even. We seek revenge. We're full of hate. But he heard that night a simple preacher stand up on a bed of a truck and talk about a man called Jesus. Just that any one of you can do the same thing that I did there and just talk about it. And how he came, and the world was in chaos and full of hate. And just like today as I speak now, tonight, it's the hate that's going on in the country and all kind of things that are happening. It's a climate that's almost demonic. It's just a climate, isn't it? And Jesus came to settle that. And I just wish America could get it. What could happen if America just bowed the knee said, Jesus, help us. He would heal that. And we need healing in our country.
Yes.
Oh, God, save America. And he said to me, I want that love you talked about. And so we prayed. And that handsome young man said, I want you to keep my gun, but will you give me your Bible? And he said, I will take your Bible and I will read that scripture that God so loved me and the world. And I will go find the one who killed my brother. And I will tell him, Jesus loves you. And he forgives you. And he took my Bible and I kept his gun. I don't know the outcome of that story, but what I do know, I heard a lieutenant in the Los Angeles Police Department with sometimes as many as 100 officers that would be at these meetings that we would have outdoors, and gunfire would be going off. But they would tell me, looking from up on those, where we had those, they would put up tower-looking things, and they would use night goggles to look into the dark, and they themselves would testify that when you begin to talk about Jesus, everything just settled down. And rival gangs would come down together, and we could open up a gun store with the stuff that came in there. And they would talk about how the calls of the emergencies that would come in, it would almost cease. It would drop 60 and 70%. Well, all of that to say is, what provokes that kind of response? Only one thing can do it. You can't reason it. But it takes a supernatural manifestation of the beautiful love that only Christ can bring to a hating world. Well, this is a good talk going on here tonight that preacher boy is doing. It's because it is the truth. And everything that we believe tonight is based on love. And that's why my message to begin to start on the wind down to keep the 20-minute promise to you. Now, if the Holy Ghost takes over, I'm not responsible for that. You do understand that, don't you? What would happen if every church, every one just came together as one? Do you ever think about in Acts 2 when it says that they were all in one mind and in one accord? You could call that message the power of one. What happens when the people on the outside, through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, they heard their own language, and it was a mystery to them. How could they know of all the languages of the people that were out there, and they heard that, and some, of course, didn't get it. They would say they're drunk, and they would say, you know, different things about them. In other words, there was only two classes of people out there. One said, what meaneth this? And that's those on the outside. They didn't get it. Everybody say they didn't get it. They didn't get it. They don't get it. They don't get what the Spirit of God can do. If we're child of God, we ought to function in the Spirit of God. Christians are to function in the Spirit of God, not become an advocate for the devil, not become his mouthpiece to spread gossip and innuendo. That didn't come out of the mouth of Jesus Christ. And the other crowd on the inside understood what it was. Peter announced it. when he said, this is that. So there's only two crowds, the crowd on the inside that gets it, this is that, and the crowd on the outside that doesn't get it, what meaneth this? Well, how many of you are glad you're on the inside that you get it?
Hallelujah.
Well, then that spirit that's in you is based on the foundation of love. There's a lot of power in this, but the power is in the walk of love, the love walk, that we love one another, and that he loved us so much that he forgave us our sins. And he loved us so much that he gave us the capacity, when it didn't seem possible, to love others that have hurt us. The offended and the offender. And yet he's the only one that can produce a harmony of forgiveness. And that's from the love walk. That's the flow of God's love that passes it on to. Just think what would happen in the church world if everybody just lived up to what the love walk is all about. And you love it. When you see your brother fall, you don't kick him while he's down, but you walk over and you pick him up because you are Christ-like. When you pick him up and you love him back into the kingdom of God, you say, you're looking at a man that needed the love of God. But then I must say, you needed the love of God, because where would any of us would be if it had not been for the love of God? And the demonstration of God's love is not through this furniture, but it's through the followers of Jesus Christ. So if the only Christ that the world sees is the Christ that is in you, what kind of Christ does the world see when the world looks at you and the world looks at me? If I'm the only Christ that the world sees, because they're not going to see him till he returns, then we are representatives of that Christ, that love walk, the love of Christ that is within us. What kind of display, what do I present as a follower of Christ to a lost world that sees me, or to a brother that offends me? I suggest to you that living in offense and unforgiveness is as deadly to the spirit as a cancer is to the body.
Yep.
Because the doctors and the psychiatrists have said many times in more periodicals than you can count, the effects of the toxics that are released into the human body and into the tissues and into the mind of people that live in bitterness based on offense. It's destructive to the body. It's destructive to the physical health. I always remember that meeting I was going to preach on a subject called Forgive and Be Free in World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio. And I got up that night, and it's a big church, Rod Parsley. I'm sure you know pastors that church. Well, it's a big old church, and I preached there for years, but it was a camp meeting. So I came to the camp meeting preaching that night on the subject of forgive and be free. I never realized the impact that it was going to have, but I had planned something that I thought it would be kind of, you know, people would remember it. It was just impulse. And so I got up and I started, he introduced me, and the place is filled. It's a lot of people. He told me that night there were about 9,000 people in that building by his own word. And I said, you know, Pastor, I forgot something. I see people, and this is what I said, I see people brought that stuff with them, and I forgot to bring mine in here. Well, I hadn't notified him of what this was going to be about, but he's great at playing along. If he sees you're up to something, he'll go along with it. Well, he said, what was it? Well, I said, I need you to help me. So they had pinned the mic on him. I did tell him that much. And so we both had these mics that we could walk around like I'm doing right now. Well, it's a big old building, but a lot of people. We just started down. I said, yeah, I brought it, and I've got it out here, and I haven't brought it in, but I need to go get it. Well, what is it? He's just carrying on, you know. He's just falling. He doesn't have any idea what I'm up to. And I went on back there, and all of a sudden we come down the center aisle, and we're in a golf cart. And stacked on top of that golf cart, all that we could get on there was a bunch of garbage bags. And Rod was driving that thing and ran into two or three pews coming down the aisle. And he pulled it down here. And then I kind of barking at him. I said, now help me get all this stuff and throw it up here on the stage. So a big old black plastic bag. We're pitching them up there like that, you know. And I said, I saw others brought their burdens and I forgot to bring mine in. I brought my burdens in. So I preached on burden-free living. Forgive and be free. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just took over that. And I said, that's exactly what it means. We sing, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. And then we get up and stack them back on us. And then we carry it. And the Lord, if he would shout it out, said, what in the world are you carrying all that stuff with you back? You just brought it to me. The song said, leave it there. Now, what I want everybody to get over in just this little moment right now is you bring all of that stuff that bothers you to the Lord and you leave it there and don't ever pick it up again, because when you remind God of what you've done, he doesn't even know what you're talking about, because he said he's blocked it never to be remembered against us again. So I want to close by saying tonight, whatever it is that's going on in your life, and if you were one of those that came forward this morning, don't you live one more split second under condemnation ever again. Amen. You know, if you've ever heard Charlie Pryor's testimony, it is an amazing testimony of grace. But then so, every one of us, we're a testimony of the grace of God. So tonight, the manifestation of that love through us is to love one another. Doesn't matter if we speak in tongues, or we've prophesied, or we give to the poor, or we give our body to be burned. If the manifestation of all of that, if you kept going in the 13th chapter, the very end of the verse of that chapter says, the greatest of these is love. Love your neighbor. Love one another. Because that is the greatest testimony of the mighty love of God, is that he gave his son. So tonight I want you to know you're not only saved, but you're free. Free from guilt. You say, well, between Sunday, I've already made a mistake. Well, welcome to the club. I'm the president of that club. Because every one of them talks about even if you fail, we have an advocate. Man, I'm going to get over my 20 minutes. We have an advocate. He's standing at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing? Forever, constantly makes intercession on our behalf. Oh, my. I'm telling you, isn't it just the greatest news in all of the world, that you can look out even to gangbangers that are everywhere and just bring to them that message that he takes your life, he changes it, he removes it. Have you ever stopped to think about that? Nearly, it seems like every one of those people Jesus called to be on his team, they were a piece of work. James and John were the sons of thunder. They were burning up the Gaza Strip. I mean, they were busy bees, weren't they, of mischief and all. But that's who he brought onto the team. He takes outcasts and nobodies and rejects. Nobody else wants. And he says, I'll take you. So you're on the team tonight. You're a part of the elite. You're a follower of Christ. And in the name of Jesus, love others as Christ has loved you. When you see your brother fall, pick him up. Mike Murdoch, I think, wrote that song, and I don't know how it goes. Wish I did, because if I had the tape, I'd sing it. When I see my brother stumble and all of his dreams crumble. And it goes on in the song, he said, I want to spend my life healing, mending broken people. Hallelujah. So that's kind of like my work, isn't it? But see, it's not just my work. It's yours too. We're followers of Christ. He mends broken hearts. He puts people back together. And then we are followers. And we mend people. And when they fall, we pick them up. And we love. And we tell them now, get up. Okay, let's get going again. I always remember that woman. It's the first time I really displayed that kind of anger in church. This boy had come up. He's a young teenager. And he's there. And that woman came up behind him. I said, you do this all the time. And she looked at me and barked at me and said, he does it all the time. You can't pay any attention to him. And, I just felt that fire go inside me. He's going to turn out rotten just like his father was. And that boy had never heard that he could be different than his father. And I lovingly, thanks to the Lord, explained to her what Scripture has to say. Speak into now not what he has been. Speak what he is going to become. See him as Jesus sees him. Oh, this is such good preaching. I hate to stop. Just see him like Jesus sees him, because it's true.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you tonight for the privilege of speaking to these people. That you died for them. You have saved them. You've removed every sin. You've removed every mistake that we've ever made. Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Everybody just say this with me. Just say this with me right now. Maybe with your hands uplifted somewhat like this. Like a surrender. And just say this word. Lord, I release forgiveness upon all who have ever hurt me. Maybe someone that I've kind of hung on to that offense. And it comes up every now and then. And I feel it. And it wants to rise up like it was even yesterday. Even though it's been a long time ago. I release it. I bless them. I love them in the name of Jesus. Bless them, I pray, Lord. Use them mightily of God. I release forgiveness to them. And I release it to myself. I'm forgiven. Child of God. Never, never to be remembered against me again. I'm free. Forgive and be free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's my little talk for the night. Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just sense the Holy Spirit. I sense it in my spirit right now. Let's just, for a couple of minutes now, let's just with our hands raised. Maybe you're here tonight and you just haven't kind of followed as close as you want to and you should have, you feel like. Well, let's just say, Lord, from this moment on, let's just pray that, Lord, from this moment on, I want to be a champion for Christ. I want to fall in love with Christ all over again. Take a coal off of the altar. Drop it into my soul. Set me aflame with your power. The Lord's just moving right now. Let's just flow in the Holy Spirit here for a few moments. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I mean, you say, I want a closer walk with God. Just put your hand up. I want a closer walk. I want a closer walk with God. I want a closer walk. I want a closer walk. I want a passion for him like I've never experienced before. I want to be set aflame with the love of God. I want to be a mender of broken hearts. I want to be one that brings people to Christ that hurt and are in pain. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'll close with this really and truly. I thought we'd get out here by 7:30. It's 8 o'clock. Well, just give me 5 minutes, and I'm going to turn it to Pastor, to Brother Charlie over here. But Zonell and I remember vividly in Denver, Colorado, when that girl was preaching on the love of God that night and how much God loves you, and she came forward. But I wasn't at an altar call, Brother Charlie. She just came forward, knelt at that altar, and took a revolver out and held it in her hand. I was there. I saw it. And the crowd saw it. And she began to manage that barrel of that gun toward her mouth like this. We knew it was a very serious situation. Well, I always remember something. I mean, it happens just like that. You know, it's quick, so you don't have time to put thought into it. And I just remember praying quietly into the all congregation. Everybody just be quiet and pray. Just quiet, pray quietly. And I said, Lord, help me to know what to do. And it came to me just as clear. I plead the blood.
Yes.
I plead the blood. Pastor Alcorn, I'm up here on the platform, and I began to walk off that platform saying, I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I came down to where she was at the altar. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. And then she said, you just don't understand. I've sinned. Bad sin. My husband's been in the Vietnam, and I've sinned. And I've confessed. I've done all I know to do, but I can't forgive myself. So I took time with her and just told her, you've asked him to forgive you? Yes. Well, the only way he knows anything about it now is what you bring up, because he's looking into the record. Now get this. He checked your record. He can't find it. It's not in there anymore. Now think about this. This ought to make everybody in this building kind of like, yeah, I get that. He looks in your record and he can't find it. The only thing beside your name is washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's not there anymore.
Thank you, God.
And I'm telling you, her whole countenance changed. It was like a light came on. It was truly a spiritual epiphany. I mean, she got it. And I mean to tell you, that night I saw that young woman changed and transformed by the power of God, the love of God. Well, that's my message tonight. Thank you for the privilege. And you walk out of this building with your head up, shouting, he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. He loves me. Hallelujah. That's a good talk tonight, son. He loves you, Dwight Thompson. Yeah. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God. I hope you start this new year off with one settled forever in your mind. I am loved by God. He loves me. He loves you, Johnny. Johnny's a walking miracle. He should be dead. And that explosion and that hot wire when they were working in that building went through his body, and he was burned over great portions of his body, and they thought he'd never make it, and he was in agony. Pain. And Susie and Johnny went through all of that, and he sits here tonight, a product of the amazing love of God. I'm so glad you're here, Johnny. He loves you. He loves you. Well, anybody want to say anything? You know, next time I come, maybe on a Sunday night, we'll just have a testimony service. Yeah, let's think about that. And we'll all have 2 minutes. I get 20, you get 2. And let's think about that sometime in the future, you know. If a pastor wants me to come again, we'll all take a couple of minutes and just all of us tell about what Jesus has done for us and how he has saved us. Yeah, that's a good idea. How many is for that?
Hallelujah.
Well, we'll run that by pastor, and I believe it'll be okay by him too. I sure love all of you. God loves you. Have a blessed new year. And remember, when you start that new year, it's like a clean slate. Thing about the new year that's coming up, it has no history.
Hallelujah.
No history there. 1 minute from now has no history. Start right now. God loves you. The slate's clean. Okay, I'll sit down. I love all of you. Oh, Brother Charlie, do it your way. Whatever you want to do, I'll sit down here.
Hallelujah. Oh, let's lift our hands and thank God for the love of God. God, we love you tonight. We lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting, and we bless you, Lord. We love you, God. We thank you for your love towards us. Oh, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.